Hey, 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 what's happening? Thanks for joining us this evening. You're listening to the What's Happening 2021 Indiana University Lady Hoosiers Year in Review on the South Central Indiana News Network. My name is Skip Daly, and tonight we will hear from Indiana University women's basketball head coach Terry Morin, as well as student athletes Mackenzie Holmes, Allie Papberg, and Grace Berger. But first up, Nick Jenkinson, the host of Talkin' Sports, right here on the South Central Indiana News Network. Nick, thanks for being here with us tonight.
Thanks for having me, Skip. Appreciate it.
Nick, you are a lifelong Hoosier, and you've been following Indiana women's basketball from, well, pretty much the onset. This has been an amazing season this year. What's your take on the year?
Yes, it has, Skip. 21-6, six straight 20-win seasons, 16-2 in the Big Ten Conference, most wins in conference history, second seed in the Big Ten Tournament, fourth seed in the NCAA Tournament, first ever Elite Eight. Historic season, no doubt. And the amazing thing, too, is, Skip, that they got through the entire season. They never had to pause because of any COVID issues within the program. Their games that got canceled were because of the other team. So that's a remarkable feat in itself.
Yes, indeed. It was an amazing season. And, of course, led by the three superstars, all Big Ten players, Allie Papberg, Mackenzie Holmes, and Grace Berger. Now, they were putting up some amazing individual stats. But as a team, what this unit was able to accomplish was just absolutely fantastic.
It is, Skip. I mean, Mackenzie Holmes, 17.7 points a game, improvement from her freshman year to sophomore year, not to mention all the double-doubles she had. Grace Berger at 15.4, three triple-doubles, the most in women's basketball this year. They come against Eastern Kentucky and two against Penn State, and the only three in IU women's history. And then Allie Papberg, 14 points a game, and not to mention coming back for a seventh year, Skip. That's unheard of.
That's got to be unprecedented. Now, I don't know stats like you do, but this has got to be something that has not happened before.
I know that a couple guys were there for 6 years or so, but I don't think I've ever heard of a seventh year in NCAA basketball. But of course, all athletes were given this extra year because of the pandemic last year. So you got to take the opportunities when they're given to you, and she's going to do that and stay in school.
We're fortunate for it. She, of course, quoted unfinished business, and hopefully that unfinished business will be resolved in the 2021-22 season.
For sure, and looking forward to see what this team has next year.
Nick, thank you so much for joining us this evening. I know you're busy. You've got a couple shows you've got to get back to hosting. We've got Indiana University coach Terry Morin coming right up.
This is Danny with Weathervane Insurance Solutions. Not only is it especially important for our economy to support local businesses these days, but as your local independent insurance agency, Weathervane Insurance can shop you around with dozens of carriers to ensure you receive the most competitive price and, of course, the best customer service. Find us on the web at weathervaneonline.com. That's weathervaneonline.com.
What couldn't be saved? A broken ship on the horizon. I sailed out there in my pain.
Skip Daly, back with you. You're listening to What's Happening on the South Central Indiana News Network, and that was the music of the Amanda Webb Band. Joining me now, our first interview on the What's Happening tribute to Indiana University women's basketball, none other than the captain of the ship, IU's coach, Terry Morin. Coach, to start things off, I'd be remiss if I didn't thank you for joining us and simultaneously wish you a belated happy birthday.
Well, I appreciate that, Skip. Yeah, it was a great day yesterday. The sun was out. I had my family was up. So it was quiet, but just a great day of, you know, celebrating another year of being on this earth. So that's a good thing.
Well, excellent. Thinking of your family, how's everyone doing?
Everybody's great. Yeah, everybody's great. I'm disappointed the season's over. You know, this is my dad lives for this time of the year when we're playing and he's following. And, you know, when things were normal, you know, being in Simon Scott Assembly Hall obviously is a special place for him to watch us play. But everybody is healthy and getting their vaccines, which is super important. You know, just looking forward to hopefully a little bit of a relaxing summer. But I would be lying if I didn't tell you that if we could have all year round basketball, my father, who's 87, would be in heaven, you know, just being able to follow and watch us and especially watch this particular team play.
Have you had the opportunity to decompress or even relax? I know it's only been a couple of weeks since the end of the season, but do you get that opportunity at all?
Not really. You know, as soon as we got back, it was right back to work as normal. Now, there's a lot going on right now in our game and athletics that has changed. You know, with the transfer portal, kids deciding, you know, to leave. And then the portal, you know, I think on the women's side has over 1,000 student athletes in it right now. So it's a strange place to be, you know, and I never thought that I would see a day where, you know, we'd have as many transfers as we do right now in this thing called the portal. Is turning into, you know, I don't think a good thing for athletics, but that's just my personal opinion. Some folks love it. Some coaches love it. You know, it's one of those scenarios where at the end of every season, your roster is probably always going to look different, you know, from year to year. And for a team that, you know, or a coach that loves continuity, you know, with our staff, with our players, the person that's going to have to adjust the most, I think, is the staff and the head coach. And so we're trying to wrap our head around that whole thing right now. And our kids are here. They're training. We'll get to the end of April. And then in May, they'll go home and take a break. And then they'll return back in June for our mini camp for the summer.
All right. We're going to talk momentarily about this year's season. But first off, you were raised in Seymour. You attended Purdue. You spent the majority of your coaching career in the state of Indiana, Butler, Indianapolis, Indiana State, and for the past 7 years here at IU. What is it about the state of Indiana and the game of basketball?
Well, I always say this, you know, the state of Indiana and basketball are synonymous. You can't talk about one without the other. I think growing up in a state that is so rich in tradition with just their passion and love for the game, you know, I grew up in Southern Indiana, as you mentioned, and grew up just loving this game. And I just could never see myself doing anything else, you know, other than being in athletics somehow. And you know, I think if you are from here, there's a tremendous amount of pride in representing the state. And so I've never wanted, you know, and I think part of it is, Skip, because I'm such a little bit of a Southern hometown kid that just wanted to be close enough where my family and my friends could be a part of what I was doing. And so it just seems like every one of my stops, you know, I was fortunate enough to be here in the state. Like I mentioned with my dad, you know, when my mother was still living, it was, you know, it was an opportunity for me to see them, you know, on a weekly basis during the season, as well as my sister and my brother lives out in D.C. You know, just my family and my friends, you know, that would come to the games. It was an opportunity, just like a, you know, mini reunion to see them and catch up with them also. So, but to say that the pride that I have in the state and wanting to represent it in the first class, you know, manner, you know, I can't overstate that enough. And growing up in Indiana, you grow up as an Indiana Hoosier fan. And so I always say this, I know more about men's basketball on, you know, on the men's side, just growing up with Steve Alford and that crew in 87 when I was a senior in high school and they won the championship. You know, it's like I said, I've always been an Indiana Hoosier fan. I did go to Purdue, but I went to Purdue because I wanted to play for the staff at Purdue at the time. My sister's an Indiana grad. And so this is to me the transition of coming back to Bloomington and taking over this program. And I get asked all the time what it's like to play Purdue. Well, Purdue's just another team on the schedule for me. I'm grateful for the opportunity that I had to play there and get a degree. You know, my heart is here in Bloomington with, you know, our Indiana Hoosiers.
Well, we're certainly glad that you're here in Bloomington. This year's team had some amazing accomplishments, but perhaps one of the most significant ones is this is the sixth season in a row that you guys accumulated 20 plus wins. How does that make you feel?
Well, you know, obviously, that's the goal. And so we are, you know, we always have, you know, goals starting out the season. And so we've been able to accomplish, you know, the goal of winning 20 or more games in the past six seasons, as you mentioned. You know, it's great to get the credit, but the credit should not go to me. It's our staff. I have a tremendous staff. They're the best in the country. you know, including Janice Banks Constantine, who was here, then left and followed, you know, her husband Paul down to Alabama. And then, you know, Ashley now Williams, who was a GA here, has moved into her position. And so our staff is the best in terms of their preparation, but their skill development, their character, how they love our kids and want them to be great on and off the floor. And then our players, you know, the players are the ones that make all the plays, right? And so, you know, we've had some really special players that have come in here and have built the foundation. You know, we just keep trying to put another brick year in and year out, you know, on our quest to win a Big Ten championship, on our quest to get to the NCAA tournament and, you know, make a deep run like we did this year.
This year's team came out of the gate particularly hungry. Did you truly foresee yourself coaching in the Elite Eight with these ladies?
We did. You know, we thought we were going to be really good. We thought we were going to be really good a year ago, you know, before the pandemic, you know, at the end of last season when everything got shut down. We anticipated making a deep run a year ago, you know, when Brenna Wise was our lone senior. And so we lost, obviously, Brenna. That was a huge loss in a lot of different ways, as far as, you know, just to graduation. And but we also realized that we had some really good pieces coming back and, you know, we were going to add to them. We didn't know that, you know, we were going to be able to add Nikki as quickly as we were able to because of the transfer rule. But, you know, we felt like our pieces with McKenzie and certainly Grace Berger and Allie Patberg, you can't get better than those three. Right. And so we anticipated, you know, being good, having success. And like I said, I mean, our goal was to make a deep run and we did that. So to say that it was expected. Yeah, it was. It was. We had a lot of expectations on this group.
You had a couple losses this year that seemed to strike particular chords in motivation. I'm talking about the Ohio State game that sparked a 9 or 10 game winning streak to the end of the season there. And then, of course, the early exit in the Big Ten tournament at the hands of Michigan State. What was it about those losses that inspired your team to turn it up into a new level?
Well, you know, I don't know that, you know, whether it was inspiration or whether, you know, like the Ohio State, you know, there's this thing called momentum. I think anytime you can, you know, you can get a win, you know, we had never beaten Ohio State. And so you go there and you win and it builds some momentum, you know, to a really good, you know, finish to the Big Ten season. You get to come back here, you get to play Michigan, you beat Michigan, you know, and so, yeah, I think the momentum carried us into the Big Ten tournament. But then I will say this, and I said it down in San Antonio, although that wasn't the plan to exit the first game of the Big Ten tournament, you know, we really were looking forward and hopeful that we were going to get another shot at Maryland because we'd only played them once and it was early in the Big Ten play. You know, that was sort of the goal. We wanted to get to that championship game and we were keeping our fingers crossed. We figured that Maryland would get there, that we were going to have another opportunity. I do think that there's some silver lining in that Michigan State, the early exit. I think we talked about it as a staff. We had sort of lost our edge defensively. We didn't play particularly well on either end during the Michigan State game. We missed layups, we missed free throws, but we weren't very good defensively either. We had lost our, like I said, lost our edge a little bit. And so it really gave us an opportunity to come back to Bloomington, watch film, but also talk to the kids about having a different mindset. In the past, and this hasn't happened to us in the last few years, but, you know, at the end of, you're always in the Big Ten tournament, you come up short, you have the NCAA tournament to look forward to. But as we said to our group, if we're going to, you know, we came up short against Michigan State, we got to push the reset button, right, from a defensive perspective. And I thought our kids responded to that. You know, we challenged them. Look, we are not as good as we were early on defensively. And in order to make a deep run into the tournament, we've got to be really good offensively, but we got to be excellent. I mean, superior defensively. You know, I think the first couple rounds and obviously against NC State, we were really, really good. And I think we were pretty good against Arizona in the Elite Eight game. We just didn't hit enough shots. You know, I think that our problem the game against Arizona was not our defense as much as it was our offense letting us down.
Your perimeter offense took a big hit midway through the season. Is the three-point game a concern of yours? And if so, what's the solution?
You know, is it a concern? No, because I really do believe that, you know, I go back to just my roots of being blue collar and, you know, grew up in a household where, you know, it was always about your work. If you just keep doing, you keep your head down and keep doing the work, you're going to find success eventually. And I say that because, you know, I watch our kids. I watch the Grace Burgers walk in this door every single day, and Allie Pat Bergs and the Alexa Goulbays. And this is before practice. And I watch them down there with our staff, repetition after repetition, getting shots up, volume shots. And I watch them in practice, knock them down. And so, no, I'm not concerned, because I do. I'm a firm believer that, you know, your confidence can only come from your work. And we're putting in the work. Now, it might not show up in the stat sheet percentage wise, but I am hopeful that we'll continue. And I know those kids are going to continue to be in the gym. And, you know, our 3-point percentage, I think, will increase and will become better. But to say that I have all ounces, I'm all sorts of confidence in these kids shooting the ball, I do. I really do, because I believe that they put in the work to get the results.
The Big Ten is perhaps the most competitive in the nation for women's basketball. Who's the toughest team to coach against?
I think it's pretty easy, Maryland. You know, and it's probably not the X's and the O's as much as just the players they have, you know, whatever, the Johnnies and the Joes is on the men's side, as they call it. I mean, they're just superior from a talent perspective. You know, Ashley Owusu, Diamond Miller, I mean, they just are really, really good individual players. They can break off plays. Yeah, that's who we've been chasing, Skip. You know, we are, we've managed to climb, you know, we've had to climb from the cellar, you know, through the Big Ten, and we're knocking on the door, but we've got to figure out a way to, you know, beat Maryland. I think everybody does in the Big Ten. I think we all feel that way.
Well, a season like this has got to be a huge boost to recruitment. How does the COVID added year of eligibility impact recruitment, and how is IU poised for the near future?
Well, you know, we have had some kids that have put their names in the portal. So if we would have had all of our kids return, in addition to the freshmen that we have coming in, our roster would have had 18 kids on it, which is a lot. And so, you know, with some of our grad transfers, like the Jalen Penns, the Kiana Worthens, the Danny Pattersons, you know, it's probably good that those kids have moved on, because now it's sort of, you know, our roster is shrinking a little bit from a numbers perspective, which I think is a positive thing, because as we know, we've never been a team that plays, you know, our depth, although we want it to be better, you know, I think that to say that, you know, they're realistically that teams, even on the women's side, play 10 or 11 kids consistently is not accurate. It just doesn't happen. And so you're usually about anywhere from 8 to 9 deep on your bench or on your roster. And so we kind of needed that thing to look a little bit different than having 18 on it. I was concerned about the management of that in itself. So that's working its way out. Yeah, I think the thing with COVID, I mean, where it's benefited us is we get Allie Patberg back a year. We get, you know, Nikki, this will be, you know, her last season. Whether or not Grace Berger, you know, becomes another, you know, she's a senior twice, or Mackenzie Holmes. I mean, well, you know, time will tell with those kids, because I think they have opportunities to play after IU, you know. And then on the flip side of that, you got your Keandra Browns and your Chloe's and your Pages, who all of a sudden start over with a new freshman year. So it has given us, you know, an extra year, I think, with all of them from a development standpoint with those younger kids. And then certainly with the Allies and, as I mentioned, the Nickies, I mean, the experience that we have coming back, Alexa, is a really great thing.
What most impressed you from the bench this year?
I think, again, that's an area where we have to see improvement. You know, we have to see improvement of the guys that we have coming off the bench. Now, some of those, not Kiana, but KB, Keandra Brown, and Chloe, you know, freshmen that we played. You know, I think, again, especially with KB, I was so impressed with her as a freshman and what she was able to, you know, give us from that five spot. I mean, just the toughness that she played with, the energy she played with. Her communication skills are unbelievable for a freshman. I think Chloe has to continue. We need to, you know, Chloe has to put some good weight on, good strength, because, you know, the one thing that didn't show up in the stat sheet with Chloe, but dang it, we saw it every day, was her ability to shoot the ball. And, you know, I do think that with more experience with, and the thing with COVID, you know, Chloe was here over the summer, but she battled mono. Then she came back and she had to have her wisdom teeth taken out. So she had a few setbacks that didn't give her the normal, you know, summer work. And so I'm excited. I can't tell you how excited I am for this off season, because I do think that, you know, those young kids, including Paige Price, I think they're all just going to, they need to go through a preseason or a summer workout season with Kevin, you know, our strength and conditioning coach, where not only is he training their bodies, but he's training their minds. Yeah. I just think that, we're going to see, from a, you know, physical standpoint, but a mental standpoint, those younger kids, I think, are going to grow up really fast this summer. And we need them to.
Coach, we've got a couple minutes left here. We're about to have Grace Berger, Mackenzie Holmes, and Allie Papberg on the program. Tell us something quick about each of those players from a coach's perspective.
Allie Papberg may be the best young human being I've ever met in my life. And I'll ever coach. From the perspective is that she is one of the most selfless young kids I've ever been around. She's all about the team. She is super competitive. She is our leader. She is by far one of the hardest workers, if not the hardest worker I've ever had on my roster. You know, she's, like I said, she's the best. She is the absolute best. And she just makes everybody feel better because she's around. Grace Berger, so competitive. She's a kid that came in here very timid. And again, maybe some would label her as an introvert. I think that she's finding her voice. She's smart. You know, anytime I hear in the media, she's so spot on in her assessment of the game, her play, her teammates' play, really quick to always give other people the credit. Grace Berger is a great story. You know, when she came in here as a freshman, played probably less than 10, you know, minutes a game, averaged a little bit 4 points or less, and was playing at the time behind two kids that had played a lot of minutes on the wings, Jalen Penn and Ben Duyaney. In this day and age, Skip, where kids don't get their way a lot and they expect to come into college and play and start and play a bunch of minutes, why I say she's such a great story is that Grace Berger kept her head down and she just kept working. And now look at her, right? She probably will be, you know, a draft pick, whether it's next year or the year after, because she is just put in the work, didn't leave, didn't get disgruntled, didn't feel the sense of entitlement that some of these young kids do. And she stayed true to who she was and her commitment to myself and the staff and Indiana women's basketball. Because of that, we've benefited from Grace being here. And she's a great example of, you know, what, like I said, what commitment looks like. And then Mac, you know, Mac is, again, another kid that walked in here 2 years ago as a freshman, very timid, shy, probably lacked confidence. She was really good in high school. We were curious of how her game was going to translate to the college game with the pace. And then she's just obviously been fantastic. She is a throwback. You know, she is complete throwback with her footwork, with her either hand. You know, she's probably better with her left than she is her right, but she's right hand dominant. She's becoming more confident. She is a terrific recruiter for us. She's always one of the ones that wants to jump on Zoom calls when we're recruiting the future. You know, all three of them have one thing in common. They are great team players. They're outstanding student athletes. They are terrific family people. Love their families, committed family, all very, very devout in their faith. And so they are, you know, not just the foundation, but they have been one of the reasons why, you know, we've gotten, you know, this, obviously there's been players before them, but what attracted them to Indiana were the Tyra Buses and the Amanda Cahills. And that's why they're here, but they are going to be the reasons why we're going to get some of those other top kids, because they watch the Max, they watch the Graces, they watch Allie Papbergs, and their example alone will help us, you know, I think for the future. And yeah, that's what I'm excited about. But they are the best. They're the best of the best in so many ways, not just on the floor.
Coach, I hate to do this, but as we wrap things up, I'm going to hold you to 60 seconds on this. I want to give you the opportunity one more time to boast about the fantastic support cast that you have assembled of coaches, trainers, and of course, Megan handling all the media and marketing.
Yeah, I have the best staff, support staff, and that is Liz and Bree, you know, Megan, Kevin, Robert, who's our athletic trainer. You know, they are the unsung heroes. They're always behind the scenes, our managers, our practice players, you know, those are all the people that, you know, make this thing go and help our players. And that's why we're here, Skip. You know, we have, you know, whether it's 12, 13, 14 kids on the roster, and our goal every day is just to help those kids get a little bit better each day and help them have success. We want their experience here at Indiana to be one that they'll always remember and cherish and come back and be really, really proud of.
All right, Coach, thank you so much for joining us. And once again, congratulations on the amazing season. Have a great offseason. We look forward to more women's basketball coming up next year. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back joined by All-American forward Mackenzie Holmes. You're listening to the Indiana University Women's Basketball Year in Review on the South Central Indiana News Network. Are you spending more time at home these days? If so, then you'll want to consider having your carpets professionally cleaned. Brothers Carpet Cleaning has been the region's premier cleaner for nearly a decade. Their truck-mounted systems are the most effective to remove bacteria, allergens, and pet dander. Brothers Carpet Cleaning will professionally clean your carpet, tile, upholstery, and wood. When it has to be clean, call Brothers Carpet Cleaning. Online at carpetcleaningbrothers.com. We're back, and you're listening to the Indiana Women's Basketball Year in Review on the South Central Indiana News Network. And now joining me is sophomore, going on junior, AP All-American forward, Mackenzie Holmes. Mackenzie, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
How does it feel to be the first selected from Indiana University women's team as an AP All-American?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to, you know, look back and reflect on it now, because when I found out, we were like literally on the plane to go to San Antonio. So my mind was focused on that, and my mind was really elsewhere, just focusing on like the basketball we had ahead of us. So I hadn't even really thought about it that much. And then when I got back home and I saw my family and everything, that's when it kind of became real for me, I think.
Now, you and I have something in common. We're both native New Englanders. You grew up in Maine. I grew up in Connecticut. Is basketball a big part of the culture in Maine?
Honestly, it is. And I feel like people don't realize that. But like, we have a break in February from school, and that's typically like when all the tournament games are. So like, people will spend their entire February break watching tournament games. I know I did. And like, if you played in the tournament, you got a little pass, so you got into all the games for free. So I would just sit there all day and just watch games all day. And a lot of people did that. And I think that people don't realize that people love basketball in Maine, and it's a huge part, especially at the high school level. So I think that's kind of what made me a little bit of a gym rat growing up.
When did you get your start in basketball? When did you know it was your thing?
I think always. I think the fact that both of my parents played and then coached, I was surrounded with it. Because like, I would tag along the practices, I would just sit there and watch. And I think that just being surrounded with it, because some people don't start till they're in middle school, but like, I don't know life without basketball. And I think that's why it's such a big part of my life, is because it's just always been there. It's been just like engraved in my life since as long as I can remember. So I think that I always kind of knew that that's what I wanted to do.
There's been a lot written about you this year regarding the closeness of your family. Do you have a big family?
No, I mean, my parents are divorced, and I have a stepmom and a couple step-siblings, along with my mom and my older brother. So we're not a big family, but we're definitely a basketball family. Yeah, and so I think that's what kind of makes us close, is we all have that little commonality.
What was the transition like leaving your family to move to the Midwest?
It was tough. I tell this story, but I really had no intentions of leaving New England. As most New Englanders don't leave New England for college, they usually stay in state. And so I had really no intention, but my dad and I kind of decided that we wanted to look at Indiana because it was intriguing, and it's such a big name and big basketball school. It was kind of hard to not, because of all the history behind it. So, and I fell in love when I visited, and I was like, kind of like, oh man, like this is not what I was expecting. I was not expecting to like it this much. So it was tough for sure, leaving my family, being so far away from home, or things that I've never done before. But I feel like the just how much I've grown and matured from doing that has made it all worth it.
Oh, I understand your brother is out here in Bloomington with you. Is that true?
Yes, he is. He's on the practice squad here. So during the season, I see him pretty much every day.
Well, that's got to be good to have some family close by. Let's talk about the 2019-2020 season, your freshman year. After the remarkable accomplishment of being nationally ranked and then the big letdown with the NCAA tournament being canceled, how did this affect you and your teammates?
Yeah, I think that it was really hard to see our one senior, Brenna, go through that. And it hurt all of us. And then I know it hurt her, but it hurt all of us too. And it was just kind of heartbreaking, the fact that that ended that way for her, because she's such a great person and she doesn't deserve that type of ending. But I think, like, once, you know, we kind of threw ourselves a little pity party, you know, we felt bad for ourselves, and it got to the point where I was like, okay, well, we're not going back to school, we're not going back to workouts, we're not going back to games, so what can we do? So when we get the opportunity, or if we get the opportunity next season, we're going to be ready. And I think that once we kind of flipped that switch is when, you know, my motivation really rose. And I think all of my team's motivation was like, we want to be as ready as we can for when we get this opportunity next year.
Well, you seemingly took advantage of the time off in the off season. You improved your strength, your footwork, and your ambidextrous offensive game. You seem to have a really great feel for switching from left to right, going up on those layups. Describe what your workout regimen was over the summer last year to get yourself to the point where you are today.
Yeah, I think I really just tried to get myself in great shape, and what came with that was having to lose some weight. So I dropped some weight, and I started taking, you know, the conditioning that our strength and conditioning coach Kevin gave to us, and I took it really seriously, and I never missed a day. I never missed a lift. And aside from that, I would play basketball as much as I could. And I did a lot of shooting in the off season. I tried to, like, fine tune some of my post moves, but it's hard to do post moves when you don't have a defender, especially because I'm such a read and react type of player. So that was a challenge because my brother didn't want to guard me. So I was kind of just on my own with that. But my dad helped me a lot with my shooting, and it was just a consistent everyday thing for me. I kind of had a little routine of getting up, going to shoot, eating breakfast, going to do conditioning, and then probably going to play basketball and then lift again later. So I had a routine going, which I think was also very helpful.
The sports networks all love to play a video that was out there of you working out outside. You're shaking your head. That video, I think it was replayed time and time again. Tell us the story behind that. It was out in the winter. Is that what it was?
That was honestly in like April. I think that's when that video was taken, which is sad that it was that, or maybe it was May, but it was snowing deep into quarantine in Maine last year, which was terrible because I couldn't get into a gym for a while, and I didn't have any other options. My dad bought that hoop. We didn't even have a hoop before that. So he bought that for our driveway, and it was not, like, I don't recommend it because I think there's another video Megan has of me, like, literally shooting it, and it, like, slides off the backboard because it just kept slipping. But yeah, I guess it's just working with the resources I had, which were not very many.
All right. The Big Ten, it's perhaps the most competitive conference this past season for women's basketball. Who's the toughest Big Ten team that you played this year?
You know, that's hard to say because every team is so different but so challenging in their own aspect. I'd have to say probably Maryland, but you know, they just have a great level of talent every year, and going there to play is tough too, along with, you know, just playing them in general. So I would say Maryland was probably the toughest opponent, but Ohio State was great this year. Michigan was really good this year. Every team, like Michigan, Iowa, Northwestern, all of them were in the, you know, in the AP top 25. And it was a grind going against those teams and the talent that they have every single night.
Who's the toughest individual matchup that you've had here in the Big Ten?
Nas Hillman, the forward from Michigan. She's insanely athletic, fast, strong, and her motor is insane, and just her drive to run the floor. It's hard to keep up with her and then run the floor with her and then try to keep her out of the box is a challenge. We really had to focus in on her for our defensive game plan, but she's a great player, and her game and her IQ is just elite. And so she's probably the toughest person that we've played against, or I have personally.
Mackenzie, you guys have all five starters returning this year. What is going to be the biggest obstacle from winning a Big Ten championship?
I mean, just keep getting better every day. And our strength coach was talking to us about this the other day, the line between, you know, being a good team and being a great team is so minuscule. And it's just the little tiny details and the little tiny things that we do every day that will stack up on top of each other and have us be that elite team. And it's nothing special. You know, there's no secret to it. It's just going to be consistent work and everybody buying in their role and doing what they're great at and becoming even better at it. And I think that's just what's going to be huge for us. And don't be complacent, which I know with our girls, we're never complacent. You know, everyone wants to work hard every day, so I know that won't be an issue, but just continuing to, you know, work on our weaknesses and focusing in every day when we get the chance to work out.
Now, a lot of folks that watch basketball and big fans of basketball at the college level, we sometimes tend to forget that you guys are student athletes, and in the preface there is students. As you end the academic year, you've had to make the transition from basketball postseason to final exams in a relatively short period of time. How are your studies going?
They're going pretty well, and I'm lucky that, you know, the professors here are super understanding of our situations and the fact that, you know, we do have a lot going on, especially during the tournament. We don't get to choose when our practices are. We don't get to choose when our games are. So just the flexibility that the professors are willing to have with us is really special, and it means a lot to me because I want to be a great student and I want to be a great basketball player, and it's really hard to master both at the same time. And there's only a certain amount of things you can control. So I think it's just been nice to like have my professors, you know, not only saying, hey, like, get this done, you know, I want your best work, but they're also like, hey, congrats, like, on a great win. You know, and I think it's just that type of relationship that they try to build with us is something that's super helpful and I'm so appreciative of.
All right. On a personal note, what are you looking forward to most about the summer?
The summer? The warm weather. I'm looking forward to getting back with my team. And last year, we had a pretty strict workout schedule with COVID. We were in little cohorts. So I'm looking forward to be able to possibly, hopefully, hang out in like a group of all of us together, which will be really nice. I'm looking forward to, you know, just getting back on the court. I've had to take some time off, and we're back in the weight room, but I haven't gotten back on the court yet. So I know the coaches know that I'm itching to do that. But just continuing to get better. And I love my team so much. So just any time I get to spend with them is always so much fun.
We've got just about a minute left. Go ahead and share anything you'd like with the fans of Indiana women's basketball right here in Bloomington, Indiana.
Just thank you all so much for the support this last season. I feel like even though you guys weren't able to come to the game, I feel like there was still so much support and passion from everybody. And I'm so excited to get everybody back in the hall next season, hopefully, and get your season tickets, buy your tickets now. And I'm excited to see everybody.
Well, Mackenzie, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Best of luck to you in the school year and in the off season. And we so much look forward to seeing your return in Assembly Hall next year.
Thank you so much.
Are you concerned about your life insurance coverage during these uncertain times in history? I'm Adam Beasley with American Senior Benefits right here in Bloomington, and we can help you find the best coverage for you and your family. We work for you to find the best plan out of more than 150 companies. We can compare your existing coverage or start a brand new plan. From newborn to 89 years old, from term to permanent, we'll find what's best for you. Call us at American Senior Benefits, 812-631-2305.
When you're preparing to buy a new home, the last thing you should have to worry about is the safety of your possessions. Allow Big Boys Moving to professionally oversee the transport of your precious belongings. Big Boys Moving is locally owned with years of experience. Whether your relocation is local or long distance, allow Big Boys to move you with an attitude of gratitude. Call today, 812-947-1479, or online at bbmoving812.com.
You're listening to What's Happening on the South Central Indiana News Network.
And we're back. You're listening to What's Happening, and this is our 2020-21 Indiana University Women's Basketball Year in Review, and I'm very excited to have senior guard Allie Papberg with us today. Allie, thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you for having me.
Fresh off of an amazing season where you helped lead the IU Lady Hoosiers to the Elite Eight of the NCAA basketball tournament for the very first time, you sure have had quite the experience this past year. And to make things even more interesting, you did it all during an unprecedented health emergency. Let's start off by telling us where you are emotionally right now, just a couple of weeks off of this roller coaster of a basketball season.
Looking back, every season is challenging in its own way, but this one was just extra challenging trying to deal with, you know, the stress and the concern with the COVID pandemic, and just trying to be healthy every single day was a challenge in itself, and to keep everyone locked in and focused on what we were trying to do was a challenge, just making sure we were all on the same page, taking it serious so we could have a full season and we could, you know, not go on any pauses, because we knew if that would happen, it would change things for us. It would slow us down and what we were trying to accomplish. Just looking back, it's incredible. We made it to the Elite Eight. You know, when it was happening, it kind of seemed surreal, and it still does at times. But also, I think it's just really cool to see that, you know, we belong there. The program, our team, we're built for it. And, you know, Coach kept saying it, and to actually, you know, advance to the Elite Eight and be really close to a Final Four, I think it gives us a lot of motivation, but also a lot of confidence as a team.
Okay, before we gain some insight into this year, I'm going to rewind for a minute. We need to get the full perspective about your beginnings in basketball. What we know is that you led high school Columbus North to a state championship in 2015, a year in which you averaged 26 points, 6 assists, 9 rebounds, and 3 steals per game. You elected to go to Notre Dame, who had made the NCAA championship game 2 years running at that point, and then you transferred to IU. But what we don't know is, how did you first get interested in playing basketball?
I grew up with a dad as a coach. He actually coached the men's Columbus North High School boys team. He was a JV freshman coach. And so when I was 3, I followed him around everywhere. And that's where I, you know, picked up the ball. And ever since, I've loved it so much. And everything about the sport I love, where it's, you know, the team, the emotions, the fans. You know, ever since I can remember, it's been a part of who I am and what I do.
All right, take us back to how it felt the very first time you suited up to play a home game at the legendary Assembly Hall.
You told, you know, how I went to Notre Dame. My story is very different and unique, but I wouldn't have it any other way to play at IU, to play in Assembly Hall. I grew up a Hoosier fan, went to games all the time. It was a full circle for me and for my family, honestly. And every time I get the chance to put the jersey on, I do it with pride and joy and just a grateful heart that I have the opportunity.
earlier I described this season as a roller coaster. Of course, the limited non-conference games that were played, the COVID-related isolation, and the lack of fans in the audience. How were you and your teammates able to keep everything in balance and stay both mentally and physically prepared?
You know, I think I said we were built, you know, to go to the Elite Eight, to be among the best in the country. But I also think we were really built for, you know, the changes and staying on our feet and staying flexible, you know. And again, I think that starts, you know, at the top. Coach Morin is super able to adapt to change, and whatever is thrown at us, we take it head on and we figure out how to do it in the best way we can. And I think all year, we faced every challenge the same, head down, and we kept working no matter what. It was just cool to see our resilience as a group.
Talk about the dynamics of this year's team versus past teams you've played with IU.
I kind of said it just now, just the resiliency we had, you know, whether it was in a game or whether it was somebody tested positive on another team and our game was canceled. But we stayed together through it all, and we faced every challenge head on. And also, I think this year was really cool to see just how hard we've been working. Grace Berger, how hard she's worked, and Mackenzie Holmes, I mean, ever since she stepped foot on campus, how hard she's worked, and all of us, and the coaches as well. And seeing that really start to pay off was just really cool to see. And it makes you want to work harder. It makes you want to do more. You know, you want to go back. So, and do everything you can to get where we were and go farther.
Midway through the season, Jalen Penn announced that she would opt out and has since transferred to UCLA. But tell us about the role that Nicole Cardano-Hillary has assumed for the Hoosiers.
Yeah, she came in and she was ready to go. She was coming off the bench, you know, when Jalen was there or was with us. And, you know, she was quickly inserted into the starting lineup, and she was great. Her intensity, the way she plays, how hard she plays, her competitiveness, it was contagious. It wore off on all of us and only made us better. And again, I think all of us just took on different roles when we needed to. Whatever was asked of each one of us, we did it with no question. And that was cool to see how we all came together and took on different roles and just focus on the ultimate goal, which was to win.
Now, earlier you talked about resilience. You specifically took on a new role with the addition of Nikki, and you demonstrated amazing resilience. Your role shifted quite a bit. You started sharing that point position. Talk to us about the transition that happened there.
Yeah, like I said, you know, my goal is to win, and so I'll do whatever it takes to win. And my role changed. I was ready, you know, for it. Growing up, I've always played point. So it was different. It was challenging, but I was going to do whatever it took. You know, I'm going to work on aspects of my game to make me a better off the ball player. So I'm ready for those moments, or whatever my role is going to be next year, I'm going to be ready and adapt to whatever we need.
Coach was on the first part of the show, and I asked her to talk a little bit about Allie Patberg. And she mentioned that you are perhaps the greatest player to coach in terms of your abilities and willingness, and in terms of your mentoring other players on the team. Talk to us about Coach Morin. How is she to play for?
She is a dream coach for me. Truly inspires me every day to work harder, to be a better person, to be a better player. Because she does that, and we see how hard she works, and we, you know, there's a lot of people out there that say a lot of good things and then they don't do what they say. But Coach Morin, she walks the talk, and she just inspires me to be better in every aspect of my life. And she, you know, she is the leader that, you know, we all want to run through a wall for her, because she cares about us, she loves us, and she's passionate about winning. She's passionate about winning at life. And so I tell her a lot how thankful and grateful I am to be a part of this, her program, and a part of, and to be coached by her, and just to watch her work every day is an inspiration to me to be better.
There's no doubt about it that the Big Ten Conference this year had the most amazing talent and and the best coaches and succeeded incredibly throughout the NCAA tournament this year. Is there a player in the Big Ten that you just absolutely love to play against? Is there that one player that you just find that matchup to be super challenging and exciting for you to get out there and to fight against on the court?
Yeah, every team is in the Big Ten is great, and they all have different challenges, and that's what makes it so fun. Every game is different. Every game plan is different. Every scout is different. I really like playing against, she's not my position, but Naz Hillman. I just love how she approaches the game overall. She plays extremely hard. She does whatever it takes to win. She's competitive, but she's also very, you know, she keeps her emotions in check, and she's just an all-around, you know, great player, great leader. You hear, you see her lead her team. So I just really, really like playing against her because I just like how she goes about playing.
It's funny that you should say that because I asked the same question of Mackenzie, and she thought that her biggest challenge was Naz as well. So that is interesting to hear. All right, let's talk a little bit about this year. After not having an NCAA tournament last year, you come out, you guys set your team goals to not just make the tournament, but to move forward, go have a deep run. Was this the deep run that you were hoping for?
Yeah, no. I mean, our ultimate goal was to win a national championship. So, you know, we fell short. We wanted to win a Big Ten championship, and we fell short in that regard as well. So it was a really successful season, you know, just because we have never been to where we've been in our history. But our ultimate goal was to win a national championship and a Big Ten championship, and we fell short, but that's what we're focused on for next year already.
After that loss in the NCAA round of eight, you did not hesitate to discuss that you would return for the 2021-22 season due to, and I quote, unfinished business. Tell me about your decision-making process, and I think you've already described what that unfinished business is, but confirm that for me.
Yeah, I have the opportunity to play another year for IU, and there's no hesitation on my part that I want to do that. Like you said, there's unfinished business. I want us to win a national championship. I want us to win a Big Ten tournament or championship, and I get my master's paid for. There's just no question of why I wouldn't come back, because there's always time to move on to the next chapter of my life, and I was given, you know, another opportunity, another chance, and, you know, I want to play in front of fans again. I want to play in Assembly Hall again and just make an impact off the floor, and I feel like I can do that most when there are fans in the building, and you can actually speak to people and touch other lives that I didn't get an opportunity to as much this year.
Well, just as a fan perspective and for somebody that resides here in Bloomington full-time, let me tell you that everyone is extremely excited that you are coming back, and especially because we didn't have the opportunity to see you in person last year. But before we let you go, a few off-the-court questions. How are your studies going?
They're going well. Challenged in different ways. So,
you graduated with a finance degree and are currently pursuing your master's, you just mentioned. Talk about your master's program.
I'm getting my master's in administration, and so it just adds another layer to my Kelley degree, and I'm learning different knowledge in different areas, and so I love to learn, and so I'm thankful for that opportunity.
You have big plans for the summer?
Be here at IU, work hard, get better, enjoy the moments that I have with the people around me.
All right, we'll finish it up with this. You've got 60 seconds. Go ahead and share whatever you would like with the fans of Indiana University women's basketball.
I'm excited to play for IU again. I'm excited to take on another journey with my teammates and my coaches, and I'm excited that you guys got to see what we're about this year and what we're going to be about next year, and I want all the fans to be a part of it because it's fun and it's exciting, and we need all the fans we can get and the support because it means a lot to us.
Well, Allie, thank you so much. It was a pleasure to speak with you today.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more of the Indiana University Women's Basketball Year in Review. That was Allie Papberg, returning senior guard, coming back for another season. We'll be back after this quick break.
This is Danny with Weathervane Insurance Solutions. Not only is it especially important for our economy to support local businesses these days, but as your local independent insurance agency, Weathervane Insurance can shop you around with dozens of carriers to ensure you receive the most competitive price and, of course, the best customer service. Find us on the web at weathervaneonline.com. That's weathervaneonline.com.
And we're back. You're listening to What's Happening. Skip Daly here with our 2021 Indiana University Women's Basketball Year in Review. We've heard from Coach Terry Morin, forward Mackenzie Holmes, guard Allie Papberg, and now joining us, rising senior guard and all Big Ten first team honoree, Grace Berger. Grace, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm going to throw a few numbers out here. 15.3 points per game, 6.7 rebounds per game, 4.7 assists per game, and 1.1 steals per game. Those are some amazing stats. I am well aware of your humility and how quick you are to give credit to the entire team and staff before accepting any personal recognition. But how do those numbers make you feel?
I mean, honestly, when I look at those numbers, I still see a lot of room for growth, and I'm thankful that I have another year left to continue to get better. And really, I just think it's a reflection of my teammates. Every day I come in and I see them on the court working so hard, and it motivates me to work hard, and they push me every day along with my coaches. So I think really it's just all the credit to them.
Triple doubles, three of them. You're the only player in the league to have had that many. I read an article describing you as being one rebound away from your first triple-double of the season, and apparently you weren't even aware of it. I think it was Jalen Penn who had to take you aside and mention it at one point. Did you kick it up a notch during those games, or was it just a matter of the shots falling and the rebounds, the rebound positioning happening to click? I mean, what is it that helped you achieve those triple-doubles?
I mean, maybe there's a little bit of luck that went into it. Balls just coming my way, maybe me getting some bounces, getting some shots to go in, and then obviously my teammates have to hit shots in order for me to get 10 assists. So I think, you know, a lot of things had to go right for me to get them, and it's just, again, a reflection of my teammates and my team.
Again, there you go, giving it right back to your staff and your team. How is this year's team different from the previous two for you? Obviously, there were plenty of health regulations to be managed, but in terms of talent and perhaps camaraderie, what was the difference this year than the last 2 years that you played for IU?
I mean, I think without a doubt, just looking at us, you can tell that there's a lot of talent on the floor, a lot more talent than we've probably had here in the past. But I think what really separated us and allowed us to have the year that we had was just how close-knit this group was. We're all each other's best friends, and I think COVID really forced us to kind of just be in our own little bubble and really get closer to one another, and I think you saw that on the court, and it contributed to our success for sure.
Midway through the season, you received the news about the passing of your grandmother. I understand she was quite the basketball fan. Go ahead and tell us about your grandmother and perhaps a little bit about the relationship that you and she shared.
Yeah, I mean, she was, to this date, the biggest Indiana sports fan that I've ever met. And she was just always so passionate about it. Whenever I went over there, she always had a game on, no matter what sport it was. So I think when I committed to IU back in high school, she was super excited, and it just made us, you know, bond that much more over that. So when I came here, she watched every game. She was always screaming at the TV, my biggest supporter. So When she passed, I think I just really used that as motivation. I know she's still watching from above, from a different perspective now, but she's always with me. So whenever I went out to play after that, it was really for her in my mind, and I just used that for extra motivation.
Now, motivation, it definitely was. From what I understand, you flew back and forth from the East Coast to her service and went back to play a game that night, and you had another triple-double. Is that correct?
Yeah, at Penn State.
Well, that is extraordinary, and thank you for sharing a little bit about your grandmother. That's wonderful how big of an IU fan or Indiana sports fan she was. Did that help tilt the wheel a little bit to get you from Louisville up to Bloomington?
Maybe subconsciously, but really it just worked out that IU was the best fit for me. So I'm not sure that had any influence. It just worked out that way.
Coach Morin, she's had an incredible tenure here over the last 7 years. Six consecutive years, 20-plus game seasons. That's a great accomplishment. She's helped to turn things around here. What is it like to play under Coach Morin?
I think just for starters, she's extremely competitive, and she expects nothing but our best every single day on the court. And so I think little by little, you've seen the program improve year by year, practice by practice, game by game. You just keep getting a little bit better until we're at where we are now and where we're going to continue to be in the future. And then I think she's, you know, a player's coach. She really cares about each of us as people, as individuals. And so I think we're all, you know, wanting to get in the gym and wanting to be our best every day for her and play hard for her. Just the person she is, I can't say enough good things about her. And she really gets the best out of us as individual players. And I think that leads to our team success.
She describes you as being extremely competitive and also as a gym rat. What does being a gym rat mean to you?
I think it just goes back to the passion I have for the game. And I just want to be, you know, my best so I can make our team better every day. And I love being in the gym, and it's easy when you're in an environment where everybody else loves being in the gym too. So it's just what I'm passionate about and what I want to be doing every day.
Coach has also said throughout the second half of the season that it's like she has three individual point guards in the game at the same time. Your ball control is incredible for a shooting guard or a wing guard. I've watched you warm up at Bankers Life Fieldhouse before the Michigan State game at the Big Ten tournament, and I was blown away with the drill that you were doing off to the side. You were dribbling the ball behind your back and switching hands and through the legs and all sorts of globetrotter type stuff. And you were seemingly doing it all with a smile, and you were laughing as if it were second nature. How did you get to be so talented with ball control?
Yeah, when I was younger, my dad said there's always a spot in the team for somebody that can handle the ball. And at that time, my dream was to, you know, eventually make a high school team and play in college. So I just wanted to do whatever I could at that point to, you know, make that happen. And so ball handling is always something you can do, whether it's in your basement or in your garage, whether it's snowing outside or raining or whatever. So ever since I was, you know, 7, 8, 9 years old, I would make sure to just give 10 minutes a day to work on my ball handling. And I think over the years, I've just slowly gotten better to where I'm at now. It's kind of second nature for me. So it's just always been something that I've put a lot of importance to and really worked hard at.
All right, the Big Ten. The conference is probably one of the most talented and competitive out there for women's basketball. Is there a team that you just absolutely love to play more than other? And if so, why?
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime, obviously every team's good, but there's a couple of elite teams that we love to play. Obviously, you know, teams like Ohio State, who before this year coach had never beaten. So we always love a challenge. We're obviously still chasing Maryland. And so whenever, you know, we get the opportunity to show that we belong with those elite teams, I think everybody on our team really, really loves those games.
All right, here's a question for you. In the Big Ten Conference, which individual player would you most want to play a game of one-on-one against?
That's a really good question. I think obviously last night you saw a couple get drafted. Arela Garantes, I think she's going to be a really good pro in the WNBA, and she's just a really good player. So I'd love to play her one-on-one and kind of see where I stack up against her.
And with five starters returning for the 2021-22 season, what are your expectations for next year? We heard coach and a lot of the players throughout the year in press conferences talk about the goals that you set out at the beginning of this past season, and that your goals were not just to make the tournament, not just to get to the Sweet 16, but to move beyond. And you got to the Elite Eight this year. Allie referenced that there was some unfinished business. What are the goals going to be for next year's season?
First and foremost, we always want to lead the Big Ten during the regular season and then win a tournament championship. That's always the goal here. And then this year, we saw that we can make it to the Elite Eight, and we were, you know, a couple baskets away from advancing to a Final Four. And then the team that we lost to, Arizona, lost by a couple points in the national championship game. So obviously, I think that makes us all really excited to work even harder this offseason going into next year, because we feel like we're right there competing with the nation's best, and not just getting to an Elite Eight, but getting to a Final Four, getting to a national championship game, and winning it all. We feel like we have the talent to do that. We've proven that this year, and we're just a couple pieces away, we just need to get a little bit better, and I think we'll be right there.
While this show airs, you will be one of 20 in South Carolina competing for a spot on the 2021 USA AmeriCup team. Tell us about this opportunity.
Yeah, anytime, you can compete against and play with the top talent in the country, it's a huge opportunity for me. And I'm really excited to, whether I make the team or not, obviously my plan is to make the team, but just getting the experience to get coached by great coaches and pushed by great players is something that I think will benefit me in the future and that I'm really excited about.
We wish you all the best, and we'll all be thinking about you. You've got the hearts and thoughts of all of Bloomington and all your fans throughout the country right now. We're hoping that you excel in this competition, and we would love to see you represent the United States in the AmeriCup team. We want to thank you for being with us. Yeah, all the best for a great academic end of the year. Have a great summer, and we're looking forward to seeing you again next year.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Grace Berger, rising senior guard for the Indiana University women's basketball team. I'd also like to thank once again Nick Jenkinson, Coach Terry Morin, and student-athletes Mackenzie Holmes and Allie Papberg. This was a look at the 2020-21 IU Lady Hoosiers and their amazing season, finishing eighth in the nation overall. On behalf of the entire team here at the South Central Indiana News Network, my name is Skip Daly. Join us next week as we continue to keep you in touch with what's happening.
This was a production of the South Central Indiana News Network.